Okay, as we get ready to start, I'm going to start in a prayer in just a second. Go ahead and turn to James 2. Now, let me tell you, the reason I'm taking a little bit of time on James 2 is this is such a controversial, hard passage. Because people all the time, when you tell people that you believe that salvation is a gift, and it's by faith alone in Christ alone, and it's not what you do, and it's that you're saved, and the moment you trust Christ, you're saved forever, people will go to James 2, and they'll say, you can say you have faith, but if you don't do good works, it shows you're not a Christian, and they use this passage. And then people actually say that you're not justified by faith, you're justified also by works from this passage. So I want to make sure that all of us in this room understand the flow of the passage and understand how it fits together. Now, we touched on it last week. I think a lot of you got it. I had people coming up last week saying, well, I see that flow. I see what's going on. But I want to touch on it because I think we need a little bit more details toward the end because we kind of rush right at the end. So let's start with prayer. And then if you're in James chapter 2 and we're looking at a hard passage, faith without works is dead, and we'll see how it goes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you for Sunday school. Thank you for our church, Lord. Thank you for your grace, mercy, provision, protection, love, everything for the last 2 years. It is the greatest thing of all, Lord, that you have given us a church that we can come together, a place to meet, a place that is being built, love for one another, ministries that are touching lives not only in this community but throughout the world. So, Lord, thank you for what you have raised up for this body of believers. Lord, we thank you that everyone in this church, everyone in this room, everyone connected with this body has gifts, talents, and abilities. Lord, would you use us for your honor and your glory, that Jesus Christ would be lifted up and glorified in this community because of this body of believers. Lord, we ask you as we look at James 2, help us to understand it. Help us to understand what it means, faith without works is dead, and that you're justified by works and all of those things. Help us to be able to put it together. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes people don't always understand Scripture, and sometimes even scholars don't understand the Scripture. If you remember Martin Luther was the man that helped start what we call the Protestant Reformation and all of those things. And when he studied the Scripture, he really understood that salvation was a gift by faith in Jesus Christ from studying the book of Romans and studying the book of Galatians. You got to remember, he came out of a time in which people taught that you had to do a bunch of good works and all of these things, and the Bible wasn't the authority. And he came to the conclusion that it was what we call sola scriptura, which means the Bible alone, and sola fide, which means faith alone. But when he came to James chapter 2, Martin Luther said, this book should not be in the Bible because James chapter 2 is speaking contrary to Paul. And we know Paul's right. That's what he said. We know Paul's right. So really, James shouldn't be in the Bible. He said it. He said it. He said it shouldn't be there. The problem was he didn't grasp. Because he was coming out of a great darkness, he didn't grasp how things really fit together. And he didn't understand the difference between justified by faith and being justified by works. And they're two different things. He didn't grasp that. And so when we look at James 2, there are so many people that will say to you, if you don't do good works, you're not a Christian. And there are people who will say, you're not justified just by faith. In fact, the Bible actually says you're justified by faith and works. And so what does all this mean? As we look at James 2, what does this mean? What does it mean, faith without works is dead, and we are justified by works and not faith alone? What does all that mean? Well, we saw a lot of this last week, and so the very first part I'm going to go very quickly, but I want to remind you of something as we get going. First of all, let's note, we know that salvation is by faith. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. Salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone, that works are not for salvation. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of what? Not of works, lest anyone should boast. So we know that salvation is not by works or any of those kind of things. But some say this. The Ephesians goes on to say we're created for good works. We're to do good works as one who is saved, but they're not for salvation or any connection with it. But some people say this. They say that works are a test for salvation. If you don't have good works, if they can't see your good works, if we don't see the fruit in your life, if we don't see you living out what you believe, then you're not a Christian because faith without works is dead, that you're not really a believer because there's really no faith. And they would say that dead faith means no faith. and we'll talk about it as we go through. And James 2, and this is where we are. Well, others say that salvation, that works show your salvation to others. That's where we are. James says, show your faith by your works. That's what we're talking about. So as we look at this, the next slide, we see that James charges believers to show their faith by their actions. And in verses 1 through 13, we saw this last week, the issue was don't show partiality. In verses 14 through 26, where all the issues are, he says, show your faith by your works. So let me remind you, and we're going to go very, very quickly, two things. James is writing, first of all, to believers. If you look at the book, he says, my brethren, my brethren, my brethren. Chapter 2, my brethren. Chapter 2, verse 4, that's chapter 2, verse 1, my brethren. Chapter 2, verse 14, what use is it, my brethren? And when he calls them brethren, what is he saying? They are what? Believers. So he's writing to believers. He's not writing to unbelievers. And his key there is to show faith by works. And we'll just see how it goes. And there's several things that I want to hit on. If I can get through this pretty quickly, there's some other things I want to talk to you about. But let me give you the idea. James chapter 2, he's writing, and the issue is, are you living out what you believe? And here's the question for every one of us in this room. I hope and pray, every one of us in this room, that you have put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, and you'd say you have what? What do you have? You have eternal life, and you're saved, and you're saved forever, and it wasn't based on your works. Exactly. Is that right? Based on faith in Christ alone. But are you living out your faith as a Christian? Are you doing good works because you've been created in Christ Jesus for good works? Okay? And so James writes and says, okay, let me give you an illustration. He says, what if a rich guy comes to the church, and he comes in, and when he comes in, you say, hey, let's get this guy's got some money. He may give to our building program. So let's get the guy, get him a really good seat, you know, everything. Get him some coffee, get him a couple of donuts. I mean, let's take care of this guy. But what if a poor guy comes in? I mean, you can tell he's poor. And you say, that guy's not going to give to the building fund. So you tell him, just sit anywhere you want to. This is what James actually says. He says, what if somebody comes in and you're showing favoritism by the rich guy, you give him a good seat, the poor guy, you give him a bad seat, you've made a distinction, you're judging, you're dishonored the poor man, and then he says, you're not fulfilling the royal law, which is the law of love, which is love your neighbor as yourself, love God and love others. You may be showing love to the rich man, but are you showing love to the poor man? No, and he says, when you do that, God's going to discipline you. Because if you try to say, I'm gonna, if you're showing partiality, you're transgressing. And then look at verse 13. He sums it all up. He says, for judgment will be merciful to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What does he say to do? He says, listen, don't do that. If you're doing that, you need to recognize what's going to happen to you if you show partiality among believers. What's going to happen? I can't hear you. You're going to be disciplined by God. Is that right? Is that true? What happens to any of us if we sin and keep sinning? Discipline. We're not talking about salvation, right? Now, so he basically says, go to the next line, I think. If that's the challenge, not to show partiality. So when believers go against the word of God, there will be discipline. Now, we saw this last time. And as we get ready to look at the second part of the passage, which is the one everybody has trouble with, he's actually saying what you need to do is, as you love your neighbor, you live out your faith. In fact, I think loving your neighbor, obeying the word, is living out your faith. And living out your faith is by your works. Now, let me ask you a question, and we're going to see. He says it. We talked about it last week. He says, show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith with my works. Can you show me your faith without works? You can? You said no, didn't you? Or did you? Maybe you didn't hear. Can you show me your faith without works? You cannot. You can say, I believe. You can say, I've trusted in Christ. You can say, I'm a child of God. You can say, I love my neighbor. I love my neighbor, but I don't do anything for him. So am I showing my faith? No. But if I do good works, am I showing my faith? That's what James is talking about. We're not talking about salvation issues at all. He's saying if you're going to be a believer, and you are, then you need to live out what you believe. You need to say, I'm supposed to love my neighbor and love God, and so how do I show I love my neighbor? Okay, how does God say, if you love me, what will you do? You will what? Say it. Keep my commands. You'll obey me. If you love God, you obey him. If you love your neighbor, what will you do? Serve him. That's exactly it. And so James is saying, listen, rich guy comes in, you show partiality, and he says, listen, if you do that, you're going to be disciplined by God. Okay? So, I think he's not saying we prove our salvation by works or we keep our salvation by works. He's just saying others can see our faith by our works. And then, we said this last week, understand there are two kinds of justification in the Scripture. There is a justification before God, being declared righteous before God. That comes how? By faith. When you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, you're declared righteous by God. There is also a justification before people. And how do you declared righteous before people? By your works. Okay, I want you to get this because there's going to be somebody going to come up to you and give you James 2 and you're going to go, gosh, we went over that in Sunday school, but I don't remember what he said. You know, right? So I want you to remember. I want you to put this together. So there's two kinds of justification. Let me read something to you. Listen to this. It's in Romans chapter 4, verse 2. You don't have to turn there, but it says, for if Abraham, first class if, for if and it's true, Abraham was justified by works, he could have something to boast about, but not before, you may know, God. Can you boast before God on your justification by your works? The answer is no, because you're justified before God by what? But can you be justified by your works? Yes. Before who? Before people. Exactly. Now, as we start chapter 2, verse 14, do you remember verse 13 said that judgment will be merciful on the one who shows no mercy? So he says, if you're not living out your faith, what's God going to do? What's he going to do if you're not living out your faith? He's going to discipline you. So look at verse 14. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, I got faith, I'm a believer, but he has no works, can that faith save him? Save him from what? From what? Discipline. What's the flow of the passage? If a guy says, well, I have faith, but there's no works, can that faith save him? Are we talking about eternal life, salvation? What are we talking about? Discipline by not living out your faith. Everybody got it? Okay, so think about it. You got to get this. If you don't get this, the rest of it doesn't make sense. What use is it, my brother? And if somebody says, well, I got faith, but I haven't lived out my faith, can that faith save you? Save you from what? Disciplined by God. Because he just said in verse 13, judgment will be merciful to the one who has no mercy. I mean, if you're showing partiality, if you're not loving your neighbor, if you're not living out your faith, you can expect the discipline of God. Okay, so sin brings judgment and discipline. So when he says, can that faith save him from what? It's discipline and judgment. So when a person takes James chapter 2 and pulls verse 14 and says, see here, if you have not works, you can't be saved. What salvation is this? Salvation from discipline. Exactly. It has nothing to, if you look at the flow of the passage, it has nothing to do with eternal life salvation. Everybody got it? Now, here's what he's going to do. He's going to give an illustration and he's going to say, are you going to live out your faith? And here's what he says. If a brother or sister is without clothing and is in need of food, and one of them comes to you and says, and one of them says to you, or one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you don't give them what they need, what use is that? Now, I gave you the illustration last week that 2 weeks ago, a little lady showed up, a little girl basically showed up at her office, and she came in and she said, I don't have any food for my kids. And I said, how much do you need? She said, she said something like $12, and I gave her $20. Okay, what if I'd have said, well, thanks for coming. I know this is a church, but don't let this door hit you as you leave, right? I could have said, I have faith, but I have no what? Works. So if somebody comes in and has a need, and we don't help meet that need, he says, what use is it? Are we living out our, and he's just using this as an illustration. It could be anything else. If we're not living out our faith, if we're not doing what we're supposed to do, can people see our faith? No, watch what he goes on to say. Verse 17. Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. Now, does a dead faith mean no faith? No. The word dead means inactive. It means not working. We used the illustration last week. What if you go out to your car and you open the door and you sit down and you put the key in and you turn it and it goes, and you go, oh my gosh, my battery's what? My battery's dead. Oh no. Does that mean you don't have a battery? It just means it's what? Not working. What is a dead faith? Faith that's what? Not working. He's already told them, what are they supposed to do? Live out their faith. Works. Do good works as a believer so people could see your faith, so you can live it out. And he says, but if you don't live it out, you have a what kind of faith? Dead faith. Now he says nothing about whether you have faith or not, because you have faith. It's just what? Not working. Okay, watch what he says. So even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. It's got to have, in order to have a working faith, what must you do? Do good works. Exactly. That's it. Okay? So watch. He goes on to say in verse 18. Well, somebody may say, and the somebody who's saying is the writer, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I'll show you my faith with my works. Okay, look what he says. You have faith, I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Can you show your faith without works? No, you cannot. This guy is saying, and he's using this illustration, and he's saying, so you're there, somebody comes, they have a need, you tell them, be warmed and be filled, and you don't help them. Your faith is useless. It's a dead faith. It's not working. You could say, well, I have faith. You say, well, show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith with my works. Well, the truth is, you can't what? You can't show faith without works. You can't do it. You can say it all day long. I believe, I believe, I believe, I trust in Christ, I'm living for Christ, I belong to God, I got to love my neighbor. I really love my neighbor. I love my neighbor, but when he has a need, I don't do anything. So what does that mean? I have what kind of faith? Dead faith. That's all James is talking about. And so watch what he does. And by the way, I'm going to come back to this verse in just a little bit. In verse 19, he throws it out and says, well, you believe that God is one? Okay, you say there's one God, you say you believe? Well, you do well, but the demons also believe and shudder. And we're not talking here about life or eternal life. He's saying, you say, I believe there's a God. Guess what? The demons believe there's what? A God. And the demons believe and shudder. Why? Because they know that he is not their Savior. He is their judge. You understand that? Jesus Christ, the Savior of mankind, did not come to save angels. And so when demons see Jesus, they believe that he is the Son of God. They even believe that he died on the cross and rose again. They cannot believe in him as Savior because he is not their Savior. That's why they believe and tremble. And every time you see the demons falling before Jesus, they say something like, have you come to judge us before our time? So in James, he's saying, this guy says, but I believe, and I believe in one God. I believe in everything. He says, look, demons believe the same thing. So it's not just saying I believe, it's what? Living that. We're not talking about salvation. The flow of the passage is not salvation. He's not saying you do good works to be saved. He's saying you do good works to what? Show your faith. That's all he's talking about. Listen, what if you came to church every Sunday and you sit there, you never gave a penny, you never helped, you never signed up for anything, you never came to anything, you never somebody could say, listen, I know that person comes to church, but I don't know anything about what they believe because I've never seen them do anything, right? This is what he's saying. Now, watch. Are you willing to recognize, and look what he calls them, foolish fellow, that faith without works is what? Useless. It means inactive. It means no profit. Look what he says. Faith without works is useless. There's no profit. A believer without works has a dead faith. The faith is dead and there's no benefit. Do you think that a lot of people who have trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior and they have what? Eternal life. Do you think a lot of Christians have a dead faith? Yes, I think a lot of people do. James is writing about it, and he's telling these Christians, the brethren, 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 three different times, listen, you need to live it out, because if you don't live it out, and if you don't have good works, what kind of faith do you have? Dead faith. Now, let me tell you something. The people who look at this passage in the wrong way think that a dead faith means no faith. Does it say you don't have faith? It says you have a what kind of faith? Dead faith. Okay, now watch. He's going to give us an illustration. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? Now, what do we know about Abraham? We know that Abraham believed God and it was credited to him for what? And he's justified by what? In fact, the whole New Testament all keeps saying over and over that we want to be like Abraham because Abraham was justified by faith and we need to be justified by faith. Is that true? What in the world is he saying? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? He was justified by faith when he believed in what? The Messiah, the coming Messiah. He was justified by works when he did what? Offered up. See, one of them is faith in God and the Messiah. The other is what he did. One is justified by faith. The other is justified by works. I want you to see something. I want you to turn to Genesis real quickly. And I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 15. And I want you to look at the timeline. Listen to this. Genesis 15. And after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram. That's his name. His name is Abraham. God changed his name later. He's calling him Abram here. He says, don't fear, Abram. I'm a shield to you, and your reward shall be very great. God says, don't worry about a thing, because Abram had just defeated some kings and had saved some people's lives, and he thought these kings were going to kill him. And God says, you don't have to worry. I'm your shield. Nobody's going to bother you. Abram said, oh, Lord God, what will you give me since I'm what? He didn't have any kids. How old is he? Does anybody know how old he is? He's at least 70. He started at 75 when God told him to leave the Ur of the Chaldees. So he's probably between 75 and 80 years old, and he doesn't have any children. And Abraham said, you've given me no offspring. So that means that's even before who was born? Ishmael and then Isaac. Isaac was born when Abraham was how old? 100 years old. This is 25 years before Isaac is ever born. Okay? What does God say to him? He says, don't worry about a thing. I'm going to take care of you. Look at verse 6. Then he believed in the Lord, and it was what? Credited, reckoned to him as what? He's justified by faith. So in Genesis 15:6, let's just pretend he's 80 years old. It's at least 20-something years, maybe 25 years before his son is born. He is justified by what? Faith. I want you to flip over to chapter 22. Look at 22. Look at verse 1. Now, it came about after these things that God tested Abraham. Tested him? Tested him in what way? Is Abraham a believer? Is he justified by his faith? Okay, now God's going to test him to see if he's going to be justified by his works. Are you a believer? Are you justified by faith? Are you going to live out your faith so you'll be justified by your works? Now watch what happens. It came about after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, I'm here. He said, take your son, your only son whom you love. Who's the son? Isaac. So this is at least 25 years from chapter 15. It's most likely about 35 years because this son is most likely between 10 and 14 years old. Best we can tell. Let's just say it this way. It's been almost 40 years since Abraham was justified by faith. Watch what happens. He said, I want you to take your son, your only son whom you love, and I want you to go to the land of Moriah, and I want you to offer him as a burnt offering on the side of the mountain to which I'll tell you. Now, does Abraham say, I believe God, and I believe every promise he's ever given me? Do you know what the promise was? You will have a son, and through that son, the Messiah will come. What's the son's name that the Messiah is going to come? Isaac. God said, you believe me? I said, I believe you. I'm justified by faith. Now, I've got that son that God said the Messiah's coming through, and here's what I want you to do. God says, I want you to take that son and kill him. Oh, I don't know about that, because see, I don't know how that's going to work, because if I killed the son that God said he was going to send the Messiah through, then I don't know. How are you going to kill the one that God made the promise to? What's the only thing you know? The promise is coming through what son? And God says, kill the son? What must you believe? That God's going to what? Raise him from the dead. Do you understand this? If you've never read this passage, Abraham has to believe God that he would raise Isaac from the dead, because God said, the promise comes through Isaac, but I want you to kill him. Abraham has to say, if I believe God, then I have to kill him, because God's going to raise him from the dead because I believe the promise. How's Abraham going to show that he believes the promise? How's he going to do it? What's he going to do? He's going to have to kill his son. So watch what happens. So Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him. Now, how many people are on this trip? How many? Four. And with him and Isaac and his son, and he got some wood for the burnt offering, and they went to the place where God had told him. And on the third day, they saw the place. And Abraham said to his what? Young men. This is two guys with him. He said, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad, that's about a 14-year-old son, will go over there, we will worship, and what? Wait a minute, how is he going? He knows he's going to go kill him. How is he going to return? He tells these two guys, hold the donkeys, okay? We'll be back, we're going over to the mountain, and then we will worship God, and then we will return. What has God told him to do? Kill his son. He actually says, I'm going over there, kill the son, God's going to raise him from the dead, and then we're coming back to these people. Does that show that Abraham believed God? Is he justified by his? No, not in this. He's justified by his works. Exactly. So watch what happens. Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. See, his son is old enough to hold the wood and everything. And he took it in his hand and the knife. And so the two of them walked. And Isaac said to his daddy, Abraham, hey, dad, here I am, boy. Well, look, I see fire and I see wood and everything. Where's the lamb? He hadn't told Isaac. Isaac's just going along for the ride. He didn't know. He said, Daddy, where's the burnt offering? Where's the lamb? And he said, don't worry, the Lord will provide. You know what he knows? I'm going to kill you, and God's going to raise you from the dead. They came to the place which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there, and he arranged the wood. And then what did he do? He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Let me ask you something. How old is Abraham? Does anybody know how old Abraham is? He may be 115 years old, and this boy may be 14 or 15. Do you think this boy can outrun Abraham? Do you think if Isaac said, I ain't getting on that thing, do you think Abraham could catch him? No way. What did Isaac do? He said, son, I'm supposed to kill you, and God's going to raise you from the dead. I don't understand it, but I trust God. And here's the way I show that I trust God. I do my works. And what did Isaac say? Tie me up. I don't really like this. What would you say? I hope you really do believe God. I hope this really does work. Abram stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, I'm here. Don't stretch out your hand against the lad. Do nothing for him, for I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And he looked over and he saw a ram, and he went and got the ram and killed it. And Isaac went, whew, that was great. But Abraham said, I was willing to sacrifice my son because I believed God and I showed it. Who else saw this? The two guys down by the donkey saw everything. Okay, now back to James 2. You know the story, right? We'll go quickly just because of time. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? Was he not justified by works when he offered up Isaac? Yes. Who saw it? The two guys and Isaac. You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected, which means matured. And the scripture was fulfilled, which said Abraham believed God. It was reckoned to him for righteousness. He was called a friend of God. It says that Abraham had already believed back in, that's Genesis 15:6. Genesis 22 is when he offered the son up. He's saying, see what God, what Abraham believed back in Genesis 15 was shown to be true, lived out, worked out in 22. Do you live out, work out what you believe? I trusted Christ when I was 19 years old. That's a long time ago. Am I living out what I believe now by my works? That's all James 2 is saying. He says that, and I may have, yeah, you've been going behind me? Yeah, good, because I wasn't even looking back there. Okay, good, good. So look at verse 23, and the scripture was filled that God said, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him for righteousness, and he's called a friend of God. He had been justified, I think the next slide, he had been justified before God by his faith, he was now justified before man by his works. Think about this. We're justified by faith before God, we're justified by works before men. So when James 2 is talking about justification by works, he's not talking about salvation justification, is he? He's talking about justification before men by works. So all of us in this room, you are justified before God by your faith. You are justified before people by your works. That's all James is talking about. Now, he's got one more story, and I've got it for you, and I'll go real fast. He says, by the way, you see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. What justification are we talking about? How do you answer? You see, a man is justified by works and not faith alone. See, you're not saved just by faith, you're saved by works. That's what somebody's going to tell you. What are you going to tell them? This justification is not eternal life salvation. You're justified by faith before God. You're justified by works before men. Okay, he gives a second story. In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? Who is Rahab? She was in Jericho. She was a prostitute. She lived on the side of the... She had a window that went out the side of the city. And the spies that God sent, the Israelites were ready to go and try to take Jericho. They sent some spies into the city. People were after them, so they got into this woman's house, which is a prostitute. And she said to them, I know your God is the God of Israel is the true God, and I believe in him, and I know you're going to destroy us. And she said, don't destroy me and my family when you come. And they said, okay, we want, and she hid them. And people came in, soldiers came in and said, hey, we saw those guys running around here. And she said, well, they were here, but they left and they went out that direction. And they went, okay, thank you a lot, and they left. She had them hid up in the roof, the ceiling of her place. And then they came down. What did they know when she hid them? Because she told him, I believe in the God of Israel, didn't she? But how did they know she believed in the God of Israel? She hid them. Notice what it says. Was not Rahab justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? They said she believed, because what could she have done? They walk in. The soldiers walk in. Where are those men? And she goes, they're right there. And they killed them. But she didn't do that. She showed she believed by her works. Now, here's the final thing. Look at verse 26. For just as the body without the spirit is what? Dead. So faith without works is dead. So let me ask you this question. Just as a body without the spirit is dead, is it still a body? Okay. So faith without works is dead. Is it still faith? Yes. Is this passage trying to say that if you don't do good works, you don't have faith and you're not saved? No. This passage is just saying if you don't do good works, people can't see your faith. You're supposed to do good works. You're supposed to live it out. You're justified by faith before God, and you're justified by works before people. And a dead faith is a non-working faith. And just like a body is laid out and people say, oh, they look so natural. Listen, there's the body there, but there's no spirit. It's dead. If you say, I believe, but I don't have works, it's dead. You believe, it's just dead faith. Wow. Let me give you some applications. I know time is up. Look what we say. Understand the different kinds of justification. What are the two justifications? We're justified before God by what? And we're justified before man by works. There it is. That's the two justifications. So understand it. Okay? If Martin Luther would have understood that, he wouldn't have said throw the book of James out of the Bible. Okay? Second, let's live out our faith. How do we do it? How do we live out your faith? Doing good works. And how do you do good works? Look at this. Love your neighbor. Right? And by the way, who's your neighbor? Anyone that comes in your path. What would you do if you walk and you went to Texas Roadhouse after church and you get through eating, and as you're walking out to your car wearing your Sunday clothes, and a person comes up to you and says, hey, I'd hate to bother you, but we don't have any food. And I know you just ate there, but we don't have any food. What would you do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do if you go home and you find out there's something happening in your neighbor's house? You go over there, and they need all kind of what? All kind of help. What are you going to do? You're going to say, you know, I wish I could help, but there's a ball game on. The Cowboys are playing, and I'd like to help. Right? Are we going to live it out or not? That's all James 2 is about. So the next time somebody tells you that faith without works is dead means you're not a believer, you know that's wrong. And you know what justification before God is, you know what justification before man is, and you know that a dead faith doesn't mean no faith, it means it's a faith that's not what? Working.